This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Senator John Bozeman, Chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Modern Ag Alliance. Learn more at controlweedsnotfarming.com. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Arkansas Senator John Bozeman next. Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back at controlweedsnotfarming.com. Paid for by the Modern Ag Alliance. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The nation's farm and ranch community is working with a second extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. Prospects to improve the safety net for producers now likely lies in the path of budget reconciliation. Arkansas Senator John Bozeman says neither Agriculture Committee on either side of the Capitol has an easy row to hoe to see policy improvements.
GT and I have a difficult situation in the sense that USDA is, especially now, providing such an important service. Our farmers and foresters and ranchers, all those involved in agriculture, are really facing very, very difficult times. I think you have to look back to the 1980s, a generation ago, to really see times like this. So they need advice. They need help. But we've got these, this disaster payment that's going to come out soon. They have administrated the economic assistance payment. They have, are now trying to give advice concerning on all the different elections that come up when it's time to plant a crop. And after so lots of stuff going on. So on the other hand, we're $36 trillion in debt. We're running $2 trillion deficits a year. You simply can't keep doing that. Right now, our interest is greater than we're spending on defense. So it doesn't matter if you're a farmer or any sort of a small business person or you're talking about your own finances, you just simply can't continue on like that. So we do need to reduce spending, and there's ways we can do that without impacting services. And then the other problem that the chairman and I have is trying to find a path forward on the Farm Bill, trying to make sure that, really importantly, that the risk management tools are updated. 2018 Farm Bill was great for 2018, but then in 19, then it, pandemic came, inflation came, huge input cost increase, and decreases in actually what you can get for your crop, so it doesn't pencil out. So we've got to help them. Otherwise, they're not going to have the ability to go see their banker or whoever their lender is and get the monies that they need to go forward.
In 2024, we were what, 25, 30 some billion dollars away from having the funds to be able to have a full farm bill, but couldn't pull it across the finish line. And we ended up providing economic assistance, or the nation ended up providing economic assistance for farmers and disaster assistance. Is that any different than where we are right now, or is now more difficult than a year ago?
Well, then and now, we have a huge amount of spending on agriculture. The Farm Bill is about $1.5 trillion. That's grown from about $800 and some odd billion projected when we passed it in 2018. Nutrition has increased by about 60%. So it's a huge amount of money, but there is a finite amount of money. The pie is only so big. So what we've been trying to do for the last couple of years is redistribute that somewhat. So as the lady in North Dakota said, we get more farm in the farm bill, because the farmers desperately need it. And if you don't take care of them, you're not taking care of rural America, and we're going to have increased prices in the foodstuffs that we're so blessed that it is so cheap, it is so safe, but you're going to have increased costs because farmers simply won't be able to make a living. And so because of that, we have to have a little bit of a redistribution, and farm bills are normally not very partisan, but in this case, we simply couldn't get people on the other side of the aisle to come along so that we could actually get that done. Now, what's changed is a couple things. The farm community now is in worse shape now than they were then. And when you talk to our great economists, whether they're at USDA, who do a good job, or our land grants that do an excellent job, They're all saying the same thing. They don't see commodity prices getting any better anytime soon. So we've got a plan for that. Our bankers are telling us that if we continue on the way we are now with the whole increase in the safety nets, they simply aren't going to be able to loan the money. So because of that, that's how we were able to get the $10 billion together. That's a huge amount of money. Congress did that and did it in a very bipartisan way, stepped up. That's a great thing. But what we've got to do is instead of spending money that way, money that you can't count on, our farmers deserve. They don't want a bailout. They want a decent risk management program, a decent risk insurance program that they can count on so they can plan for the future.
So thinking then of the process in the House, Ranking Member Craig is keeping up the battle cry, if you will, from the minority side of the aisle about any cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Can there be cuts or modifications to SNAP without consequences on the food insecure in the country?
Yes, very much. I'll give you an example of that. The overpayment rate, in other words, this is not cutting any sort of benefit or whatever, but people actually receiving more money than they're entitled to, is about $10 billion a year. We tend to think in terms here of over 10 years. That's $100 billion. That is a humongous amount of money. And again, that's going to people that don't deserve those dollars. And that's not counting waste or fraud or anything like that. So there's all kinds of ways that we can be more efficient. I'm not for cutting the benefit at all, okay? But I am for getting more efficient, limiting the growth as we go into the future, because it's simply not sustainable. We can't have the kind of increase that we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. Ultimately, the way that we're going to get around this is what I would like to see is us do the risk management portion of this in reconciliation. And that's a mechanism that we can use. It only takes 51 votes in the Senate and would allow us to go ahead and take the titles out of the farm bill that have to do with ARC and PLC, crop insurance, the things across the board that benefit from a risk management standpoint with farmers. Go ahead and get those things done. That's the big spending items. Then come back after we get that and pass a strong, solid farm bill, which is more about policy. It's not spending a lot of money, but we need to look in the farm bill. We'll have the risk management tools out of the way, so then we can look at things like trade, we can look at research, we can look at all of the issues that we've got going on regarding the various animal pandemics and potential pandemics that we have, avian bird flu, you know, things like that. Now we've got screwworm in Mexico coming north. So all of these things are very, very important. And that's where we'd address those things is in the farm bill.
Several questions around that perimeter, so let me chip at those for just a minute if you would. Is a SNAP realignment or adjustment a requirement for reconciliation? And can you get that through the Senate Ag Committee? Can you get it through the Senate if it's there?
Yes. No, we can get it through the Senate. We can. Really what we're talking about is we're not talking about cutting the benefit. I'm a co-chair of the Hunger Hawk Caucus. I understand how important these programs are. Probably 30-35% of the people on the SNAP program have one or two jobs. They're underemployed. They simply can't make it on whatever the state minimum wage is. In Arkansas, it's $11 an hour. You just can't live on that anymore. Many of them are seniors. They're elderly. They are trying to survive on small Social Security checks that before inflation they were able to barely get by on. Now they can't get by, so they look to things like SNAP, they look to our food banks, and we need to support those. But on the other hand, there is a finite amount of money that's available, and so we need to make sure that as efficient as possible. And then two, we do need to take care of the farm community. So yeah, no, we can get it passed and do such in such a way without cutting anybody's benefit and then also make it such that we can secure the ability for us to continue producing this cheap food supply that's so important to the kind of people that rely on SNAP. Average SNAP benefits about $6.70 a day. Couple of cups of coffee. That's, you know, you're going to need additional. So, having a cheap food supply is so important for that group. More important than anybody else.
It seems as though the government is facing the challenge of debt and paying the inflation. On the other side, both the person who is food insecure and needs SNAP and even the farmer are battling inflation. Because for the hungry, the food cost has gone up, and for the farmer, input costs have gone up to the point that risk management tools now are below the cost of production. That's an evil battle between those two sides.
No, it is, and it's difficult because, again, not only for the average family, not only has food gone up, everything's gone up. Rent, insurance, car payments, name it. And so, if you're on a fixed income, there's no way to make up for that. Or if you're in a situation where you're underemployed, you don't have the skills to make a living wage, then it gets really, really difficult. On the farm side, the input costs have gone up dramatically, at a personal level and then on the farm end of it. And because of that, they simply, when you pencil it out, and I've had literally, a very distinguished corn grower penciled out on a napkin for me her input cost and then showing me with record yields not being able to return anywhere close to a profit, not breaking even, but losing a tremendous amount of money per acre. So that doesn't work. And so we have to support that group. We've got to get these risk management tools up to snuff. What happens in the regular situation, regular world is with a normal other business, you raise your prices. And so people have to pay more. Farmers can't do that because they're dependent on these worldwide commodity prices. Because of that, they're really in a difficult situation.
Well, I don't want to say Chairman Thompson has it worse, but on your side of the Capitol, I think you're called to save $1 billion. On his side, he's got to save $230 billion. So when the job is done there and in your committee, how do you resolve the differences between the two?
What the Finance Committee did for us was just give us flexibility. So they said $1 billion, but we're going to be able to do much more than that, to the point that we're going to provide enough resources that we significantly contribute to debt reduction, but also come up with the dollars again to help with these risk management tools that I'm talking about. So, we'll work hard to do that. We'll do our best. We'll do all we can. The SNAP program, looking at other programs, wherever we can find some savings, being more efficient, but again, not cutting benefits. I think that we'll get support from the rest of our conference in doing that.
I regret that I didn't have the opportunity to talk to your ranking member, Ms. Klobuchar, while in Washington, but I did have the chance to talk to Congressman Craig, and the ranking member there said, no shortcuts. Don't go for reconciliation. Go for the full bill. If you get the full bill in a bipartisan manner, I'll deliver votes. Is it an option to be able to say, nope, we're not doing reconciliation. We're going to get a full bill and die on that hill?
First of all, I've got a great partner in Senator Klobuchar. She does a tremendous job, and she's from Minnesota. agriculture is so important in that part of the country. She understands how important it is, not only for her state, but for the country, for rural America. So she is a great partner, and we work together very well. We've done a lot of important things together. What I would remind, though, my counterparts is, in the last reconciliation bill, which they were in charge of without any recognition of any Republican talking about these things, they spent $50 billion on conservation and other farm priorities that they thought were important. So we've come back and said, well, that's great. But we feel like the most important thing now, we felt like the most important thing then was to take care of our farmers and get them in shape. That's really what they want. Conservation, we're very supportive of. These other things we're very supportive of. But if you're not in business, you can't use these tools, because, you know, you don't have the ability because you're no longer producing a crop and have a farm that actually needs them.
Down at the USDA, Secretary Rollins is pretty much by herself. Your committee has been working to bring some help. What do you think are the chances for Mr. Vaden as Deputy Secretary and for Mr. Clarkson in the full Senate for the vote? And how many more are lined up to get the USDA fully staffed and ready to fulfill the regulations that are in their hands now and hopefully for farm policy coming up?
Well, Senator Klobuchar has, again, been very cooperative in understanding that it doesn't matter where you're at on these issues. The people that are running these agencies deserve the ability to have people in place. And again, farmers need that. Because of that, we've been able to go forward with the nominees that have gotten their paperwork in place. You have to have an ethics report, financials, you have to have a background check from the FBI, and all of these things just take a long time. And so we've finally gotten that done. We were able to get the secretary voted out almost immediately. Which, again, I was very, very pleased with. These others are taking more time.
Senator, Secretary Rollins shared that they got about 106,000 employees, and every year between 8,000 and 10,000 retire. But now we're talking about a USDA downsizing, and that number will be even higher. The question is, how many employees does it take at USDA to be efficient, and can we afford to limit the number of staff in county offices, especially if they're shy of even having the technology they need to make their jobs more efficient?
No, I think that you really make a good point regarding technology and just kind of getting us into the 21st century. And government is so far behind in that regard, using all the tools available that are out there that can make us more efficient. So I don't know what the number is. What we've asked is to, you know, we want to be informed as to what they're thinking, why they're doing particular things, realizing that, again, we're in a situation where our farmers desperately need all of the help that they can get. So we don't want services cut. On the other hand, the numbers have increased through the years, and I think there is a feeling that things have become bloated. But I'm very much in favor of doing that in a very precise way and making sure that we're not just cutting for the sake of cutting. And we've seen some of that. And then, you have to go back and rehire and things like that when Congress or whoever says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this and that? So I think that Secretary Rollins realizes that and is trying to do things in a manner that, as they do recognize that we're in this difficult period as a country and as individuals, as businesses, looking at our expenses, that we do it in a way that is going to be best for the producers.
Senator, I'll ask you about tariffs right after this. And this question is, the CCC's funds look pretty low. Do you think Congress can come up with dollars to replenish the CCC, whatever the purpose might be, whether it's to make up for income losses from tariffs or to react to other situations that may take place in the country. While we're in reconciliation, can you find the dollars to replenish that?
Well, we're going to have to look and see what we need. Secretary Vilsack did a good job of taking and spending pretty much what was in there. And I think some of those programs are questionable. A lot of these things are the things that they're looking at clawing back. So we'll have to deal with that as it unfolds. But right now, the dollars that we need for the current situation that we're in, but certainly with tariffs, with other things that might occur, additional disasters, we might find ourselves in a situation where we need more dollars. Congress has been good. Congress is taking care of our farmers in a very bipartisan way. The president understands how important farm country is, and I know mentioned in his address to Congress the importance of the farm communities, as mentioned several times, how important it is. So I feel certain that if we do need to do that, that he'll provide the leadership and Congress will provide the leadership to do what we need to do to make sure whatever situation arises that we'll take care of.
Trump tariff tactics, are the consequences worth the potential cure?
I think they are very much in the sense that certainly we couldn't keep going down the path that we were going. We're a great nation. We strike these deals. We play by the rules, but our counterparts don't. We see that with Mexico. We see that with Canada, particularly with the Chinese. It's all take and no give. And so the president is using the tariff to be able to get their attention. He's gotten their attention. Right now, my understanding is that he's announcing an agreement with the UK, which is important. The whole world is looking to us for leadership. They don't want to put all of their eggs in the Chinese basket. And so we need to be in a situation where we're not totally dependent on the Chinese buying our farm products. We've got to look for other markets. And I think the farm community understands that. And so far they've been willing to go along with him. They understand we've got that problem. I hope that we'll see a number of deals being cut in the next several months. And it looks like in talking with our trade rep and talking with the president that we're moving in that direction.
So one question before the close, and this is echoing words from Ken Hartman, the president of the National Corn Growers from Illinois. And he said more than once, Jeff, we need demand. The president said he wants farmers to produce more for the domestic market. One domestic market that could really explode demand is that for renewable fuel and sustainable aviation fuel, but yet we haven't seen movement on that from either the Congress or the administration about really growing demand.
Yes and no. I know the EPA is looking at these things. A lot of our colleagues are urging the administration to take action, whether it's at the EPA level or higher or whatever. I know the president has the attitude that it's an all of the above approach with energy. And so I think that this is an area that in the next few years we'll see significant growth, and that will help demand, which is so very important.
Senator Bozeman, thank you for taking time to be with us on Open Mic. I know you have a vote coming up. Thanks for being here, and today the senator gets the last word.
I do have a vote. It's the only thing I got to do around here for sure. But we appreciate you, appreciate your show, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Our thanks to Senator John Bozeman, chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Modern Ag Alliance. Learn more at controlweedsnotfarming.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Dowling.